just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. So a long, long, long time ago, I took Steve for his first trip to Disneyland.
That wasn't that long ago.
It was so long ago. We were so young. So beautiful. What happened?
I still am. What are you talking?
And I knew there were a couple things that Steve was 100% going to like. He was going to like the business side of Disney. He was going to like the theming. He was going to like to see the intricate way that they, you know, put things in. But I also knew that Steve was 100% going to like the shows. Specifically, the fireworks in Disneyland and World of Color at California Adventure.
You know that's right.
And so I made it a point that we had to see both of them. I think it was the last night we were there, we went to see World of Color. And very purposefully, I didn't tell Steve a lot about what was happening, because as you all know, I like to have an honest reaction to the first time that I see things, and I don't like things ruined for me. I don't like spoilers. So we got our spot for World of Color, the lights go down, the drum roll starts, and I didn't look at you during the show, I don't think, but at the end of the show, I looked over and it was mouth agape, eyes wide open, just pure bliss staring at what you had just seen. And I said, I knew you were going to love this.
Yes, I had only seen one photo of just the fountains on very minimal settings that Disney used as the header on one of their websites. And I logged on to buy the tickets. I saw that. Immediately closed off and said, we're going this weekend, we're going to go there and see whatever this is, and I don't want to know anything else
right
until we see this magnificent show that is A World of Color. And I don't think there is anything greater man-made on earth than The World of Color.
It was the most literal mind-blown moment I've ever seen, where you were just without words.
Yeah,
after the show.
Oh, multiple times. Yes,
it's so much fun.
100%
to go with somebody who you know is going to enjoy it, and then get to show them something that they thoroughly enjoy.
It is 1,000 fountains that are choreographed to lights and music with LEDs that can change color in a second. Like, there is nothing that is better than the World of Color show.
It's interesting because even in that description, it doesn't quite capture what it is. Because you think, okay, there are fountains with colored lights in it.
But
it's not just that even. Like, you know, anyone that's been to Vegas has probably seen the Bellagio fountains.
Right.
Which are fairly similar. Except it's the Bellagio fountain bigger and more colorful. And with music, Disney music, and with everything around it also having light effects on it.
Yeah.
And they do all sorts of really cool lighting things with it, and fire, and you know, it's just a full experience that is really difficult to describe to people,
but
without them seeing it.
Yeah, and all you need to know about the magnificence of it, 1,000 fountains choreographed with lights and music, like that enough should be how amazing the show is.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Disney got the memo, and here's why.
Poor World of Color.
I've had a couple of issues about it, and as you can see, I'm awfully passionate about The World of Color
itself.
You got
some passion for The World of Color.
And it's an incredible show, and the technology behind it is amazing. It's fantastic that way. But here's some of my problems, and this is why I feel like we have to absolutely talk about it in one of the scariest times of year.
Scary.
They did a Oogie Boogie overlay for the villain show, right?
It's called Villainous, yeah.
And we watched the clips of Villainous, and I have to say, boring as heck.
It was a little bit of a stinker, for
so
sure.
So freaking boring, folks. Like, it's unbelievable to me that they don't realize that they have 1,000 fountains that they can choreograph to music with music. Like, music, right?
To be fair, though, let's disclaimer, we haven't seen the show in its entirety. And we haven't been there physically to see the show.
But
we've seen multiple overlays of World of Color.
Right.
And we kind of know where they go with these sort of things.
Yeah.
And I'm not really, like you said, I'm not sure Disney knows what to do with it to keep it at as high of a level as the normal show. Because I feel like the normal show is great to watch and always elicits big reactions out of people. But their overlays tend to be a little lackluster.
Yeah, absolutely true. Because we saw the Neil Patrick Harris show for the 60th anniversary.
Yes.
And it had Mickey in it, and it was black and white, and it was cute. Because, sure, let's do black and white for the World of Color, for goodness sakes. That seems to make sense.
See, but I wouldn't have minded it if it had been more. Like, you know, I love Neil Patrick Harris. He's a great person, I'm sure. But why Neil Patrick Harris, you know?
And why talking through the entire show?
And why talking? And why all new music with zero Disney music in it?
I don't think that show doesn't lend itself to dialogue. It just doesn't.
It needs to be
epic.
Video, it needs to be visual, and it needs to be musically accompanied. You can throw a couple lines of dialogue in there. It almost needs to be edited together like a movie trailer, where there's lots of action, lots of emotion, and maybe a couple zinger lines in there to keep you moving. But overall, it's a visual experience, and I don't want to spend it watching video of Neil Patrick Harris on a water screen.
Right, when Johnny Depp says, "I won't be doing that again," and then immediately, dun, 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 that's amazing.
Yeah.
But even with that description that I was saying before, could you imagine the Bellagio fountain to a spoken word? Just imagine it, folks.
Slam poetry. Yeah, an audiobook version of the Bellagio fountain.
This is what they continue to give us time and time again with their overlays and their new shows, and especially with Villainous and Oogie Boogie.
It was very dialogue heavy.
You could make that thing phenomenal and dark and fun, and all of the big epic moments that we get from the villains is what I was expecting and hoping to see in the show.
Yeah.
And that is not. No, that's not what they gave us.
And we got kind of a cute... We need to remember that it is a family thing, so they wanted to make sure that the kids would enjoy it. So we do get a story about a little girl trying to decide what she wants to be for Halloween. And it's a cute enough idea.
That's adorable. Yeah, it's
cute. So it could work, but instead it turns into reading a storybook, basically. And it's like, well, that's not really what we came here for. We really kind of wanted cool visuals and fun music more so than spoken word.
Yeah, and they rely so heavily on the video screens on water that they do on that show, right?
Yeah.
Which they lean on that so heavily now, and it really frustrates me with their nighttime spectaculars because, you know, a lot of these parks are getting criticized because of their video, because of the screen technology.
Yeah.
And nothing looks better than projection on water. Like, yeah. I would rather just sit at home and watch it on a television screen if you just send me the video clip. That would be fantastic. And I guess maybe part of the problem could be that people in the back can't see the fountains. So the fountains are only impressive to the people right up front. Maybe that's a problem, and maybe that's why they rely so heavily on the projection screens, which I say fix it if that's the problem. And then
here's some advice for you: fix it. Then, be better.
And then the other thing is add music to your shows.
That's the thing that I find the most puzzling about all of their overlays, is that they tend to apparently shy away from using their own music.
Weird.
They have a built-in fan base. If you just do the first three notes of A Whole New World, the audience goes,
and it gets me every time.
And then you go to their Halloween show, Villainous, and they have, like, random, it sounds like royalty-free music playing during the show, and you're like, why would you do that? All the villains have cool music. Most of the villains have a song. why are we ignoring all that when it comes to their show?
Weird.
You know?
So weird. As a matter of fact, the Enchanted song that's from there, right? What is it that's in the actual show, World of Color?
Oh, yeah, So Close.
I've never heard the song before seeing it in that show, and it is now a very, it's a staple in our house now.
We love that song.
It's an absolute go-to, yeah. And I had never once heard it prior to that show, and that's how moving that show is and can be when orchestrated properly.
Right.
And it just, I'm completely blown away by the weirdness that is these overlay shows. We should say, though, that the Christmas show we saw was phenomenal, and it ended with probably what you call is...
a religious experience. Yeah, like, I am a bit of a Scrooge when it comes to Christmas. I dislike Christmas music a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very repetitive. We haven't made any new Christmas music, it seems like, for the last 4 centuries, so it's just the same songs over and over again. So I'm a little Scroogey about that, and I'll admit that. But the build on that is just incredible, and it's everything that you want World of Color to be.
Right.
It starts off small with little tiny fountains, and then it builds. The fountains get bigger. It builds. The lighting goes up. It builds. All of a sudden, there's bubble hearts flying through the air, and it's just... it's amazing what they can do.
Yeah.
When they really use the fountains
to the biggest incredible effect,
in conjunction with music that really... compliments their fountains. And so it is disappointing when they say, ooh, we're getting an overlay for St. Patrick's Day, and you're like, great. We're going to watch a couple shamrocks dance across on water screens for 30 minutes while you play some random song that no one's heard before.
And also on the New Year's Eve, they'll have a New Year's Eve celebration, which is in reverse, and they do countdowns to it, and that's also big, epic J-Lo kind of music, right? But they in do your
music
face.
It's all music.
That is when it's good.
Yeah.
Anytime they shy away from it, it's crap. And they
crap. Steve is serious about his World of Color, y'all. Well, and here's the thing, is the reason I think that we get so defensive over World of Color is that it's very divisive in the Disney community in general.
Yeah.
There are people who just straight up think it's boring. They don't like World of Color.
And
so it's sad when we like it as much as we do, and then when they change it over, people get excited to go see it, and it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I want, is I want the show to be great every time. And, you know, that may be asking much. You can't expect everything to be perfection. But at least... 50% of the time, I would like the overlays to be as good, if not better, than the normal show.
Yes, and to your point on that, I have a hard time defending it now when people say that they don't love it. I agree. I hate to say that I agree with you, but I now have to agree with you, and that's horrible. You know, like, anyway, the other thing about that would be is that the show itself is fairly dated. Like, and especially for a park that is so driven it's a locals park.
Yeah.
And especially California Adventure is a locals park, especially that one thrives on the local folks coming in there. And so for you not to be changing that show, to not change it frequently, to add in new elements, to take away elements, to change it up, to, you know, to do things like that, they've proven to us that they can do it for a one night spectacular of New Year's Eve, but we just saw one that they did for the 50th anniversary, which was a live action show over on the island, right? And so they put a lot of work into these nighttime shows. That one would be a lot easier to do, and you could do it all with almost like computer, like in the computer system prior to.
Yeah.
But it would be easy to do change outs in that show frequently. So and the fact that it's the exact same
relatively
show for
few changes. They had a Brave section from the movie Brave that they put in and took out. And I think that is the only thing that they've changed.
I think so, too.
And, you know, I can sympathize that, you know, there's a lot of things going on and maybe they don't have the time. But I feel like exactly how you feel, that it should be fairly easy to switch out a couple things.
Yeah.
If you have... they didn't hesitate to put Frozen music in there.
Yeah, that's true.
So they obviously can do it. They just need to do it more often, I think.
100%. There's no actors. There's no fireworks. There's nothing but projections and fountain screens. And the Bellagio Fountain, they're constantly changing shows on the Bellagio Fountain. Constantly.
Yeah.
And it's made by the same people. So you could do it. You easily could do it.
Yeah.
And the fact that they don't, upsetting. And I thought it was the high time we discussed.
Well, and also I have to say they did have an issue last year where somebody goofed and broke all the fountains. Do you remember this?
Oh, you know I do.
So maybe the entire cost of maybe changing things in and out or doing... maybe the cost of that was swallowed up completely by the repairs to all the fountains. They're like, look, we can't spend any more time or any more money on World of Color this year because, dang it, that ate up a lot of money.
And we've seen that lake emptied numerous times since we've been going. You know, it feels like they're emptying it all the time because those things take a lot of maintenance and they do. And especially when you're maintaining 1,000 shows, but I don't know if any of that speaks to why though the maintenance, I mean, it wouldn't be still that much more expensive to change it, or because even if you do change it for Oogie Boogie, still change it to something that's good.
Yeah, like, well, that's the thing.
It doesn't cost any more money to do it well.
Yeah. Doing it well does not cost you more money. And there are elements of even the Villainous show that I can appreciate. They worked with the last Disney animator alive to do some animation on it, which I think is great. You know me, I love hand-drawn animation. And so I was excited to hear that they were doing that. Also, side note, the new Cirque show that's coming into Florida is in conjunction with Disney Animation.
Oh, that's awesome.
So here's hoping that they'll have some of that in there. So there are good things, and I think there's a good concept even when it comes to these sort of shows, and their heart's in the right place. They want to do something new and special for their nighttime show for the Halloween parties. But gosh, if they don't just miss the mark every time.
Right, and even if you were to say that people like it for nostalgia, we can't change it because it's a nostalgia show. How phenomenal would it be on certain nights that they have multiple showings of the show because the park is so busy?
Mm.
Why couldn't they show two different shows on those nights or something? You know?
Well, and nothing, I hate to say nothing's sacred because I complain when they change things, but you can't hold everything sacred. They recently got rid of Wishes, the fireworks show in Florida. And people were upset about it, but we saw the new show and it was great. It was a good show.
So good.
So sometimes, it is sad to lose things that you quote unquote think are classics and quote unquote shouldn't be changed. But Disney's whole idea was like, ooh, let's embrace new things.
Sure.
Let's push the envelope. Let's do something different. And so I think it's the same thing with the nighttime shows.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven knows Disney needs to be pressured into changing their nighttime shows sometimes. You know, Fantasmic in Florida needs to be changed. So I think pressuring them to up their game in World of Color is perfectly fair.
Completely fair.
And when you already have people that say, it's a skip it kind of show, you better start doing something to make it more worth their while.
Yep.
You know, not that it's ever not busy. Like, I don't think we've ever been to that show and not been nearly trampled by 7,000 people.
Wouldn't that be funny to find out that's the reason they don't make it, why they don't change it, is because they're like, oh, there's not enough space for the people. So we don't want the capacity to be larger, so we have to keep it.
They're purposefully hobbling themselves.
Because there's no room for the people that might actually show up to see a new show. That would be hilarious to find out.
That'd be sad.
Right, and maybe it's the same thing with the Glow with the Show ears that we're so angry about as well, that they didn't necessarily promote properly and really show all of the greatness that could have been that as well with that show.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, too. They were afraid it might be too successful.
I really hope that that's never been an issue.
It's never been an issue for Disney.
I can't think of one business that's like, you know what I don't want? More money. Let's try to avoid making more money if we can, you know? That's just not going to work out well for anybody.
Right? It's true.
So if you were in charge of putting together a show, let's just say for Valentine's Day.
Oh, for Valentine's Day.
They said,
oh, that would be so sweet.
Paging Steve we would like you to put together a concept for Valentine's Day show for World of Color.
Sure.
What kind of theming would you want to go with?
Well, I'd answer the phone to be Mr. Banks here.
Yeah. I hope you've got the money for me.
Throwback, folks. Go back to the first episode. Yeah. You'll hear it. Obviously, right, for a Valentine's show, it has to be all circled around love, and you could totally do that with a lot of the princesses and a lot of the love stories and all of the prince fellows that are around. Put those in there as well. A lot of those love stories. You could just really expand on that a lot just to do a special Valentine's Day show. And even if you only ran that show for 14 days, how cute would that be, right? look at us just come up with it on the fly. Oh,
we're so good. And then also to throw a little bit of fun in there, you could throw the Queen of Hearts in there.
Yep.
Running through every now and then, off with their heads.
To be the antagonist in it, right?
Yeah.
Is that, absolutely. That would be the heavy part of the show. And then they would conquer her in the end because love conquers all. And voila.
True love conquers all.
If you can bring back the foam hearts, I would love it, but it's not required.
That would be fun.
I'm not even going to require it because they don't got no money to spend, apparently.
Just think of all the songs, though. Like, literally, I think every Disney movie has a song about love in it. You could do an amazing mixture of all of those songs to be...
You could even put Jack and Sally in there a lot because they're not really... in the show at all, but they fall in love, right?
Yeah.
You could put them in there. I was going to say, because Ariel would be the obviously easy go-to, but she already takes up so much of the original show. Mm. I would actually try to tone her down a little bit.
Well, like I said, every princess sings a song about love. So you could have all the princesses in there, and even some of the people that aren't princesses can get away with it. It could be a super cute show.
Right. Someday my prince will come.
Oh, it'll be so good.
Wouldn't that be cute?
Ugh, Disney, call me. We've got an idea for you.
And that was with 4 seconds, no
right? Time. That's off the cuff. But it's like I always say, the world is a carousel of color.
Wonderful world of color.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.